Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Everyone, welcome to Ship to Shore Radio. This is Alan Holland, also known as Captain Frankendreck, which most of you know me by the most, but tonight, I gotta tell you, the captain has decided to share the ship with one amazing artist and musician. We're talking about Big Lee Rivera, who resides in Tampa, Florida, who, by just the fact that she lives by the water, the music that she plays and the instrument that she takes to new heights. It's one of those things that will definitely make you forget about city life for the most part, with all the tall buildings and things of that nature. And it will definitely help you chill out. You were starting off to hear Chilling After Five, which was also the title track from her last project. Good evening, Bickley. How are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Everything's been really, really nice so far, and it's good to have you on Ship to Shore in this, our third season, and it's amazing. I was listening to Chilling After Five, and one could only think about the fact that it's After Five, and it's definitely music for one to chill with, and that's one of the amazing things about your music is it does help one to chill out in an amazing way. And the steel pan work and all of those things, we're going to really get into that a bit this evening. Mm-hmm. But I got to ask you, since the last time we spoke, what's been going on with you? A lot of, I noticed that you were just in Connecticut on a mm-hmm. little trip to perform. What else has been going on?
I actually did just get back from that. That was my little mini tour for the summer. I started that kind of late, but I've already started putting together some new shows for next year. And I've got some shows coming up soon. I might be in your area. I think you're in Ohio, right?
I'm in Pennsylvania. I was just in Ohio, and I think you should take the show on the road to Ohio. The pan itself and everything you do will be well received.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I'm going to be in Toledo, Ohio, and Detroit, Michigan in September, performing at a few jazz clubs there. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a blast. And I've been working on a new album, so I've been keeping really busy.
And let's talk about that new album. You let me know that you had a new song that was going to drop some time ago. It's just want to let everyone know it's called Love Me Now, this new track, and I had a chance to hear it in advance of the public getting ready to hear it, and the thing was, it caught me right away. It only took about 30 seconds for me to say, oh boy, she's done it again, because what people don't realize, it's really hard to put your music into any one genre. I think it's groundbreaking music.
Yeah, I'm trying to do that because, I mean, right now everything's kind of in transition, as you know, with the smooth jazz, very few terrestrial stations still around, and everybody's going to internet to try to find their favorite smooth jazz artists and everything. And in the interim, I mean, a lot of people are looking for places to perform and to get their music out there. And I think we've got a whole new set of listeners that want something slightly different than what they've been hearing. So it's perfect time for other people to get out there and really experiment and put some different flavors out there. I think global instrumentation is really important, and I think just a world sound is great today.
I so agree with you, and the growing public at large, they also agree. The thing is, they're tired of the same old thing as mm-hmm. we are. You think economics and just the daily grind. With right now the internet itself, there's so many opportunities for a person to promote and PR and market their material. Right now is a time, I think, for artists like yourself to put out stellar recordings and stellar music, as I've seen and heard out of you. And so without further ado, I would like to play Leave Me Now so we can talk a little bit more after. But for everyone's listening pleasure, I just have to tell you, get ready. Listening, this is an amazing track. You told me in advance about new producers and things like that. But without further ado, I'll play the track and we'll talk a little bit after.
Okay.
You're listening, everyone, to Bickley Rivera, and this is her new song, Love Me Now, and you're listening to Ship to Shore Radio.
Thank you.
Ah, that was Leave Me Now by Bigly Rivera. That was absolutely wonderful, wonderful presentation to the public. And I got to ask you this. When did you write the song? When did you first, the idea for that song come up?
I'd say probably about 8 months to maybe even a year ago. And I was already performing it with a jazz group that was performing in the Tampa area. It just kind of was kind of, it was pretty much done, but there were times that I heard variations on it. And by the time I went to the studio, which was about maybe 4 months ago, it kind of changed in the sense there were a couple of lyric lines that were in there that we decided not to do, and we made it instrumental instead. I added more vocal parts for my voice in the verses, and some things got changed along the way. So it's kind of gone through transition, I guess.
Well, here's the thing. The best thing about this new song is you're singing more, which we talked about the last time.
Right.
People sometimes hear you playing the pan or see your photos when you're playing with your group, and they don't realize what a wonderful voice that you have, and I'm glad you're utilizing it this time.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, well, you know, the other thing is I think marketing-wise, if I really want to get the pan to be heard out there in audiences that don't normally hear it or radio stations that wouldn't normally feature steel pan music, I've got to hit them with the vocals because that's where it's at if you want radio play.
Absolutely, absolutely. How is the internet playing a part in your ability to get your music out this time around, more so than before?
Oh, it is definitely a huge part of it because, of course, the more you network and the more you have followers, then there's more and more DJs that are having their own programs, and there's special little jazz programs or chill music programs that are finding out about you or are part of your network already. So it definitely makes it a lot easier to get the information out there than previously.
I absolutely agree. And I think actually at some point you should probably look into having your own radio show. I know.
You talked to me about that before, and actually I've been approached several times just in the last 2 months, but I really, right now I just don't have time because I think it's really important to finish this album because we've got to get the pan out there, and this next album is going to be really killer, and I really am looking forward to getting that done and keeping my focus on that.
I think that's a very good idea. I just believe in any endeavor, and I notice your videos and things as well that you have on YouTube are an indication that you are the total package. I think so.
Thanks. Yeah, I try to do that. I know, you know, every little, people take different information differently, and some like the visual part of it, some like just hearing stuff, and I'm finding that today's society, I think, likes a little bit of everything. They're not necessarily looking for everything being the same continuity throughout. So what I'm trying to do, even with this album, is show steel pan to come out in R&B style, funk music, could even be dance music, things like that.
That's the thing. Your music and your recordings, they've found their way into different avenues. Sometimes when they've been on the weather channel, they've actually heard you.
Yeah.
When was the last time? How did that even come about? With the weather channel, and they included your music with the background music in the weather channel. How'd that come about?
Yeah. Actually, a fan had approached me and said that he really liked my music and thought it would be great on there. And so he kind of offered to get my music to the right person. And so basically just sent it on, and I ended up getting an email from somebody saying that they wanted to feature the music, and they took three tracks right away from Chillin' After Five. And then after I completed that album, I released a single called Endless Journey, which they heard about and put that one on also. So I kind of lucked out with that. But they've changed their format now, and now they're not featuring really jazz music. I think it's kind of alternative rock music. So you have a lot of smooth jazz followers there that are very upset about it.
I am too, as well. I didn't actually recognize that, but that I'm not really sure how alternative rock became such a large style of music in movies and background. All the same.
Yeah.
I remember back to 1985 when anyone who played alternative music, as they called it then, or progressive rock, as they called it, they thought everyone was crazy. And now it seems to be the popular music, which is pretty bizarre. But you mentioned Endless Journey, and I think we're going to go ahead and play that title track from another CD that you had. This is Bickley Rivera and Endless Journey, and we'll be right back. Thanks for listening to Ship to Shore Radio. This is Captain Frank and Dredd with tonight's special, very special guest, Bickley Rivera. And I'm going to grab some water during this little break. I'll be right back.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to Ship to Shore Radio. This is Captain Frank and Dredd with our very special guest, Bickley Rivera. Bickley, that was a nice cut as well. In fact, I have to tell you, people may not know this, how I first found you was a few years back when MySpace, and we might as well say 4 years back when MySpace was really kicking it hard, so to speak.
Yeah.
Although now, and I don't know if you visited it at all, I've rediscovered it because it's now set up for musicians and bands, and it's more of a tool to further enhance a person's profile out in the music world and for our listeners and things to get connected. So,
yeah, I haven't been out there lately, but I'll tell you, when I first was on MySpace, I had no interest in Facebook whatsoever until I found Facebook, really, for the, you know, really got on there, and then it was like, bye-bye, MySpace.
I did the same thing, but I'm going to tell you, you probably ought to take a second look, because in terms of its player and the way that they promote music now, it is has been revamped strictly for music and things of that nature. So I would give it another shot. And I'll tell you another reason why you should give it another shot, because you have so many fans in so many places, they'll just connect time and time again. Just like, what if I were to tell you that tonight we actually have one of your biggest fans? We're talking about Janelle from North Africa, who's now on the line, who wanted to say hello to you. Janelle, you're now online. Why don't you say hello to Bickley?
Hi, Bickley.
Hi, Jamel.
How are you?
It's good to hear your voice.
To hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, Jamel's a great promoter of smooth jazz over in Tanusha.
That's wonderful. Absolutely.
I'm glad.
So
it's a good opportunity to be talking to you and Bickley Rivera on this show. And, you know, we all love the smooth jazz and the new ideas and new sounds like Bickley's music. That's wonderful, because he's really making something special and really rare. As she plays her steel pan, we don't really hear that instrument too much in music. That's why I can say she is so special.
I agree with you. I totally agree. How long have you had a chance to hear Bickley's music? When did you first hear of her music? Or hear it?
That was on Till and After Five. That it was like a blast listening to that track. I was playing that sound every day on my iPod, and I was listening to her music too much, because I truly like the steel pan. I was listening to some of the steel pan on some preludes on another group, but it was not the main instrument, you know. So when I heard Bickley playing the steel pan, I was really happy to listen to that. You know, it's an exotic sound, and it gives too much happiness. I don't know why, but I see it that way, you know.
That's the way we
all. Well, you know, you're talking to another pan player there too. Captain Frankendred is a steel pan player, so he knows exactly what you're talking about as far as the brightness and the happiness sound that comes out of that instrument. And that's the whole reason why I think we like playing it, because it seems like it's a gift to people to be able to perform on that instrument. It's just an amazing instrument, and especially knowing what it came from, the fact that it's made from an oil barrel and turns into this thing that is just so sweet sounding.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And then the thing is, if I may, I will just have to say one of the greatest joys of playing the pan is to, even though you're engrossed in your instrument, you look out and you see people smiling, they're happy, they have no troubles, and music itself would do it, but the pan has this transcendent way of bringing this rainbow and the sunshine and everything right through all the other things going on.
Mm-hmm. That is the truth.
And it seems like we have another caller. I'm going to find out who that is and bring him right onto the show. But I think what we should do is, in just a few moments, play another couple of cuts from Bickley. I have one that I first heard that really grabbed my attention. I'll tell you what that is a little bit later.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I have one little thing that I want to mention. And this is just a tidbit for anybody else that's out there listening that is interested in what we're trying to do with the pan here is that in the song that you just played, the Endless Journey song, and then the previous song, Love Me Now, the new cut, we do some really interesting things with effects in the studio that people might do with your traditional instruments like guitar. I hear people doing it also on sax with the EMU, I think that's how it's pronounced. And sometimes with vocal things where you put it through maybe a wah-wah effect or something that gives it something really, really far out sounding. And we're doing that with the pan. And that's something that I don't think anybody's ever attempted that because we've never tried to bring pan into this kind of genre before. But I think it's important to show that it's a legitimate instrument just like any of the other ones that we're doing this stuff to. So if you listen carefully to either one of those songs, you're going to hear this pan, but it's not going to be the way you normally recognize it.
Yes, not quite like Calypso or otherwise. There are some other tunes that came forth back in the 80s. One that comes to mind is Just the Two of Us, the tune. Yeah, I think about Just the Two of Us, and that was one of the first things that really comes to mind for a lot. And who the pan player is, who has been around for many, many years, is playing for Jimmy Buffett, believe it or not, now. So, the pan, bringing the pan forth to many nations and many flavors is the main thing. And I have to say, Bigley, you've absolutely captured it. And you, instead of like jumping on the bus, it seems as if you're driving it right now. So, and well, caller, thanks for calling Ship to Shore Radio.
Glad to talk to you.
Thank you very much for calling in, Janelle.
Oh, it was great
a good evening.
Talking to
thank
you, Janelle.
Glad to talk to you, Bigley. Bye.
Thank you.
That was Janelle, and he's been a longtime listener and favorite fan for Bickley Rivera's music. Thank you again for calling in. We have another caller on the line. Thanks for calling Ship to Shore Radio. Who do we have online?
Hello, how you doing? My name is Rob Williams.
Rob Williams, nice to meet you. Thanks for calling in the Ship to Shore
Radio.
Hey,
Rob. How you doing? Hey, Bickley, how you doing?
Good. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, same here. I'm glad to be part of your show, and it's a great interview so far. I just wanted to let you know. And I'm a big fan of her music. You know, I actually became friends with her about a year ago on Facebook, but through the guy that just got off the phone, Jamel, he's a good friend of mine too. I don't know if Captain knows, I'm a jazz musician myself. I'm a saxophonist.
Yeah, he's amazing.
And, you know, actually I'm trying to work on a project for my next CD using Bickley, so I can't wait to hear what she comes up with that.
That's going to be fun.
Me either. I can't wait either. I'll tell you that right now because it seems like each rendering, when she sends it to me, I'm thinking, okay. I just can't wait for the next. So that's the thing. So it's up to us to make sure that more and more people hear her music. And have you had an opportunity to play with Bickley?
No, not yet. But I would love to do that. We were actually talking about because I live in New Jersey, so. And she was just in the New York, Connecticut area. So maybe next time, who knows?
Yeah, I'm sure we can plan something out because I've already got some stuff on the books for end of June.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
My favorite, you know, chilling, you know, the five, I like that. But my favorite tune of hers is Grooving in Rio. I just love that.
Oh.
Very nice.
Grooving
That's
in
awesome.
Rio? Did you say
yeah.
Grooving in Rio?
Yes.
You know what? I think we're going to play Grooving in Rio right now. We'll be right back, and thanks for listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Hang out with us for a while.
Sure.
Oh.
listening to Ship Shore Radio with Captain Frank and Dredd.
All right, that was Grooving and Rio. And it was exactly that, grooving. And let me ask you, Mr. Williams, so tell me, what did you like specifically about that tune? Because I can think of a whole bunch of things that really showed some great production and artistry. What is it you like the most about?
Well, of course, her sound with the steel drums. But I'm a very big, you know, I play smooth jazz, but I'm a very big fan of Latin jazz and just that Latin feel and Latin groove. I just like the concept of what she did with.
I happen to love Latin jazz as well, and which reminds me, so have you ever actually spent time recording or just have you played any programs particularly where someone asks you just to play Latin jazz pretty much all night? Have you ever run into a thing where people just automatically say they look at your last name and just assume that you're a Latin musician or a Latin artist?
Not as much with the steel pan, although, I mean, I definitely get requests for Latin songs, but not to do it all night long. I was in a band previous to being a steel pan player when I was just doing keyboards, and we had a group called Cuba Libre, which means, well, it means free Cuba, but it also means rum and coke with a twist of lime, and that's what we named the group for that. And the weird thing is that people would come up to me all the time thinking they saw Rivera, and they thought when they looked at me being fair-skinned that they thought that I was from Cuba. So they just assumed, and they started talking to me like, okay, so she's going to play Cuban music. And we actually didn't play Cuban music. We played all original music, but it was kind of like the Gloria Estefan style where it was a mix of American with some Spanish lyrics. And so back then, of course, we got asked to do tons of Spanish music, but not as much now.
I have to tell you that initially when I first found you on MySpace, the very first thing I did, I saw the band and I immediately just turned it on because there's something about the presentation, the photos and everything that smacked of something that couldn't get pigeonholed as just island music and calypso and all those things. And you know what? Right away, I was right. I knew. So with you, it's not just your music. It's the presentation. I've noticed it, the way you present your videos, your photographs, everything. This lady, everyone has a significant amount of culture and class, and I really enjoy talking with her because with so many musicians, and I think you know what I'm talking about, Ron, that is, sometimes people talk about music and notes and all of those things, but to me, I've learned this even from years ago from actually some elders on the mountain in Jamaica, and that is what happens in one's life usually comes out in the music, and I believe that the music that Bickley's producing and writing and bringing to the public is a nice indication of who she just may be as well as a person.
I agree with that.
All good in every way.
Yes, I agree with that. I think it's very true. It's the way you express yourself, you know. A lot of that is, as the people say about me, I pray from my heart. So a lot of that comes from within, from you, and it shows your personality, and I would agree with that.
Now, being professional musicians, maybe we can all three chime in on this. I ask you a question. Have you had nights where you've played the same notes, perhaps, or you were expressing yourself on solos, or you had a chance to ad lib, and maybe in advance or something has happened and your heart is feeling a bit heavy? Have you ever felt where you just knew that perhaps came out in your presentation that evening, even the solo, it came out kind of sad?
That happens a lot with me. I have two CDs out, and my first CD, I did a track for my late grandmother, and a lot of people, you know, they tell me they can really hear it in the song. And in the same way with my new CD that came out in May, I did a song for my late sister. So, you know, it's, you know, with those type things, feelings, you know, emotions, you definitely play in a way where, you know, it brings certain you know, certain ways about, you know, what you're trying to do out.
And what about you?
Yeah,
Billy?
I think for me, right now, I mean, there are times when I'm going through some rough things, and what it actually happens for me is it's during my setting up process or getting prepared for it that I'm feeling like that. But it seems like it's so almost immediate, but within a song or two that all of a sudden I feel lifted from hearing the pan and just really immersing myself in it, because again, there's something, I don't know, it's almost like a healing thing that comes out of hearing the pan, and maybe it's something to do with the sound of the metal, or maybe, like, you know, Tibetan bowls or something. They, a lot of people meditate to those sounds, but I just kind of, maybe also song selection. I don't know, Rod, if you've ever found that, like, if you're feeling a certain way, if maybe your song selection changes for that particular evening. We switch our songs around a lot, so you never know what order we're going to play anything or what songs will even be that night, but sometimes that will come out in that form, so you might be hearing more really mood-elevating songs versus high up-tempo songs.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, it has happened a few times.
I didn't mean to cut you off. I just both of what you just said, it just kind of reminded me of this recent little tour I did in Ohio, where I've been out of music for about 4 or 5 years. Just dabbled back in it. Again, some things happen with just family things, where you have family members that are more important who are ill, and that's more important than music at the time. But I think on Ohio, it all came back to me because the people in Ohio really, really wanted island music, and that's what I do. And more succinctly, I started playing the pan, and then from there it led from jazz in the pan to calypso, right into soca music, and from there, I realized this is it. For me, it all begins and ends with music, and it always comes out in the music. But the pan, I realized I rediscovered my joy for the pan, even though my pan started going out of tune, and it was actually made by one of the students of Ellie Monette, who invented
it. Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it held tune, and it was really old school, and everybody loved the sound of it, but for some reason, it all came back to me, and from that point on, it was on, so to speak, the rest of the 5 days that I was there. So I understand what you're saying, and for you, Bickley, I have to ask, when you go back and listen to your tracks and things that you've recorded, what type do you go in the studio and just relax? Do you have a glass of wine? Do you just open ears, take a sigh, and put on headphones, or listen to the reference monitors? Or what's your usual routine when you go back and listen to what you've created before you master? When you're getting a mix and you want to hear what you've done, what's your routine?
Well, I haven't, for the Chillin' After Five and for the singles that I've released, it's always been sent to me from the engineer, which is usually somewhere else. It's not, you know, right in my house. But as far as listening back and making decisions about things, what I do is I usually listen on my home stereo. So I'm sitting on the couch, and definitely a glass of wine is in order. Just got to kind of mellow out and make sure you're right in the right frame of mind. I don't usually listen through the headphones initially, but it's just on the home stereo. And then after that, I like to go out to the car, and then I got to listen to it on probably as many stereo, you know, like a few here and there that I can listen to, because it just always has different feelings or different frequencies from each stereo that you listen to. So that's kind of how I go through it. And then eventually I listen through the headphones, but I listen as many times as I can.
I hear you there. And speaking of listening to something as many times as possible, I will now reveal the very tune of yours that grabbed my attention. It was a cover, by the way, and I think you know which tune this is going to be, but it grabbed my attention because of the pan and because of your voice and just how everything uplifted me was in a reggae style, and I thought, wow, I want to hear more and more out of you. And So that kind of got everything rolling. But I'm going to play your remake of Minnie Riperton's Loving You. Because
okay.
It's such a wonderful, yeah. Do you even touch that anymore in live performance?
You know, I really don't perform that one. I should. I know a lot of people have asked me to do that, and I don't know why I've chosen not to do it, but I promise that I will at some point.
And I'm suggesting that you do. All right, Bickley Rivera, our very special guest. I'm going to play Loving You, one of her remakes. Well, I will just have to say this is actually the only remake that I've really heard out of you, and I kind of like that. Your original material are, I think that they're blended and put together so nice that others will try and remake your material going forward. I love the way you did this one. Thanks for listening to Ship to Shore Radio. This is Captain Frank Hendrick. We'll be back in about 3 minutes and 35 seconds. Now, I didn't actually mean we'd be waiting 3 minutes and 35 seconds. Here's the thing about pirate radio. With internet radio, you can play your materials and do your shows and things of that nature, but sometimes you get these things that happen because, first of all, you are on the internet. It's like terrestrial radio is getting back at you somehow, as if they somehow have gone out and thought, we're going to throw a wrench in our plan. So we're going to keep talking for a few minutes while we figure
we
this
thought
one
that
out.
You just went and you went and attacked some other ship or something.
But we're always from undisclosed locations. Like, for instance, right now, no one will know exactly where I am. You cannot find my IPS address. That's exactly
mm-hmm.
right. And if you hear something in the background, I can't tell you whether it's an air condition. I can't tell you if it's waves coming from the water. I can't tell you anything except that there's usually rum around, just not this evening. But I'm trying to get... We'll be back very shortly. let's talk about Japan just for a second as we're nearing the end of our interview, and just say that a lot of times people are, they're used to hearing saxophone as the lead instrument, but more and more these days, the steel pan is beginning to take a little bit more of the forefront. So I got to say to you, Mr. Saxophone Man, watch out, we're coming for you.
Okay.
No.
I love the sound, so I would be glad to have it with any of my tracks. It's a nice instrument.
It's very, very nice. And I just want to tell you this also. I'm probably going to stalk Bickley's page and run you down too as well. But
please do.
That would be good.
I mean, it's really astonishing how sometimes interviews begin in a certain way, and it's always best, I think, to just, as happens with us musically, to just let things flow. So I feel like maybe I should have you guys as co-hosts going forward, and we should all do this together. No.
I just feel as indie artists, you know, we all have to help one another out, and that's why I want to call in and, you know, let Bickley know that, you know, I love her work and that I just hope that, you know, looking forward to her future project, and I know it'll be just as good as everything else she's done.
Thanks. I really appreciate that. I'm looking forward to working with you, too.
Yep.
Great sax player, so you got to talk to him some more about his work.
I will absolutely do that, believe me. And he's so close to me that who knows.
That's right.
So because you can either look out of your closest waterway and see a ship in the distance, a shadowy kind of thing, or I'm on land, who knows. We're always from undisclosed locations. But I will disclose this. In order to find Bickley's, a lot of her work, and to find out what's going on with her, you can go to BickleyRivera.com. And that's BickleyRivera.com. You don't need the www or any of that. You can just put that right in, and that, I think that will get you to her stuff a lot faster, because the sooner you really find out the amazing body of work and find out more about this very special guest, kindred soul, the better off you'll be, because sometimes, and when I really need an uplift and want to chill out, I actually confess that I turn on your music as well, Bickley.
That's great.
So as we're nearing the end of the show, is there anything that you'd like to make sure you impart with our listeners this evening? Anything you want to add about your performances or what you have coming on, or any wisdom you want to drop down?
Well, I don't know. This thing that comes to my mind is just get ready, because I got some good stuff coming up, and I hope you're ready to hear Steel Pan in places that you've never heard it before.
We're looking forward to that, too. Absolutely looking forward to it. And I really appreciate you coming for your third session on Ship to Shore Radio. And I hope that going forward, when this turns into a TV show, you'll be there as well.
Great. Looking forward to it.
And thanks, everyone, for listening to Ship to Shore Radio. This is Captain Frank and Dredd, and we've had some nice callers in this evening. And most importantly, we had an opportunity to learn more about the music of Bickley Rivera. And you'll be able to catch this show, if you didn't catch all of it and are just tuning in the archives. Thanks for listening, everyone, and thank you, Bickley, and I'll catch you on Facebook.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Good evening, everyone, and thanks for calling in, Ron.
All right, thank you. Good night.
And as we... in one segment on Ship to Shore, we got to leave with Take Me Away, Bickley Rivera. Yeah, you know, that was a really, really good show. And I tell you, Shit the Shore Radio, somehow we get real lucky to have some of the absolute best guests, you know what I mean? And I'm seeing that before we kick things off, I see that our new co-host has signed on. Shh, don't tell him who you are. You know who you are. So how you doing, man?
Well, they'll know the voice right away. I'm doing great.
And I see someone else just came up in the lifeboat also. And we're not going to tell you where he is, okay? We're really not. But how are you doing this evening?
Good. I'm in an undisclosed location in Jersey.
Jersey, exactly right. I appreciate you going and trying to chase down the saxophone player that was on the last show. But, you know what it's time for, guys, right?
I know what time it is.
Yeah.
Do you know what time it is?
Well, everyone have your beautiful beverage ready. Are you ready to do our thing?
Let's go.
Oh, let's get ready for sports talk.
Nah, you know what? This is what's happening. We're... Stick it off now.
Dreaded sports talk.
Dreaded Sports Talk Network.
This is Captain Frank and Dredd, and you're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk, Tuesday, July 24th, 2012. This is the night before Christmas. Oh, I'm sorry. Christmas in July, that is. And you know what, guys? It's like a big gift for me because we happen to have a new member of the crew. The third member of our booth has arrived. I'm talking about all the way from a Great Lakes location. Yes, he took a lifeboat all the way to wherever we are. Yes, we, Ken and I, may both be in Jersey. We may be off the coast of Jersey. We may be on Long Island trying to find the Goombas. I don't know, but I do know we have in the fold the intro of our new crew member. Everyone, welcome aboard, Daryl Russell. All right. Yes, indeed. And I got to tell you, all you Cleveland Indians and Browns and Cavaliers fans, now you finally have a voice. A voice that is very deep indeed, and one that I feel should also maybe be in a stadium one day announcing a game. You never know. What, guys, I think we personally should take over the Monday Night Football crew.
Hey, there you go. You got that right.
Idea.
I'm trying to, you start off football season with Booth, and they bring in Mike and Mike because they have two or three ball games in one day. Well, why won't they let the Dreaded Sports Talk crew do our own show? You know, we should call one of those games, and I think it should be the Cleveland Browns and the Chicago Bears. Nope, I didn't say the Giants because they had enough of the limelight. They just won the whole damn thing last year, so they don't get to do it. But, yeah, that would be fine. And we'll call the game, and Ken can talk about how the Giants, just through team unity, might have a chance to win it all again. But, oh, it's good to dream, isn't it, fellas?
Yes, it is.
Well, speaking of football, I'm going to tell you what the hell's on my mind, okay? What's on my mind is, Ocho Cinco, let me check this out. Chad Ocho Cinco is officially no more. The Miami Dolphins wide receiver has changed his name back to original Chad Johnson. Johnson legally changed his name Monday in an appearance at the Broward County Courthouse. The change he announced via Twitter quickly follows his July 4th marriage to Evelyn Lozada of TV's Basketball Wives fame. Johnson was known as Ocho Cinco for the past four seasons. The name was a playful reference to the number 85 he wore on his jersey. Let me tell you what's wrong with this whole thing. First of time, your mother should have put a foot in your behind. Why did you change the name? You were born a Johnson. You were a better player as a Johnson, and you're going to leave this earth as a Johnson. So why did you even bother in the first place? And then on top of that, okay, Cinco stands for five, not four, and he's on his, you know what I'm saying? He got married on July the 4th, okay? and this chick that he married, what the hell? She was on Basketball Wives. What did she do? Switch sports? What the hell? I don't but Rua Ocho Cinco is gone, and now we get Chad Johnson back. Man, whoever is in the NFL films must be going crazy trying to keep up with this, but I'm just saying, Chad, just catch the damn ball. I know you're not Keyshawn Johnson. You wanted to throw the damn ball, but you just better catch it and stop bringing attention to yourself. That's what's on my mind, okay? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So what's up with you, Daryl? What's on your mind right now? What are you ranting about?
Oh, well, if you saw my post on Facebook, I guaranteed fireworks within the first 10 minutes, and you fired it up. But I'll tell you what's got my blood boiling. Roberto Hernandez. That name ring a bell? No. You know why? Because he stole a distant cousin's name and went by Fausto Carmona and was paying money to keep the name and to try to make himself 3 years younger, and was doing so good in baseball. And then all of a sudden, because he wouldn't pay the money to the family, they outed him, and the Dominican Republic slapped his wrist, put community work on him. He got his U.S. visa back. He just came back into town, the state of Ohio, on Saturday night, met with the media on Sunday. Today is Tuesday. He's been given a Major League Baseball 3-week suspension, and he's already pitching in the minor leagues of the Cleveland Indians Thursday night. He lied. He lied to Major League Baseball. He lied to the owners that pay his check. He lied to the fans. This has got my blood boiling. And they're still calling him Fausto Carmona. He never was and is not FC. He's a little maybe effed up, but he's not FC. He's Roberto Hernandez. Call him by his name. Boy, it's got my blood boiling, and that's my rant.
And it's a good one, too. You know what? I can feel it. I can feel it, man. Go have some water, because that same fellow, I was pissed off myself, but I think you adequately put it right out there. Ken, what's got you going?
I'm still upset with the Penn State thing going on here. I just I can't figure out a reasonable like settlement and way to punish the people who should definitely be punished without hurting the kids, the school, the area that central Pennsylvania area. You take that football program out of there, or hurt it like they're doing, and you're gonna hurt more than just the school. You're gonna hurt the community. That program brings in the football team alone brought in $100 million last year. That was third in the NCAA behind Texas and Notre Dame. That's got a trickle down effect on the economy in that area. And I still say the kids who are coming in now shouldn't be punished, but I don't see any fair way of doing this, because there has to be a punishment to anybody in that upper echelon of Penn State. I mean, Paterno is gone, but anybody else, the president, vice president, chancellor, the AD, I mean, then people should be prosecuted, but I just don't think it's fair to take it out on the kids. That program is going to be ruined for 7-8 years, not just, the length of the time they're not going to have the scholarships. And what I mean, they're just trying to make another jab at Paterno by taking his wins away. You know what I mean? The man still has more wins than anybody else. Whatever they put down on the goddamn paper doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
nobody's gonna look at him and say, "Oh, look, you know, So they took a couple of wins away against Eastern Illinois. You know, that I don't know. Just every time I wish it would go away, because every time I see it on the online, I just get more pissed off.
Well, you know what? You're going to get more pissed off this evening, as I am, and I'm sure Darryl is. We're going to talk about that, because that's what's on our list to talk about this evening. And if you guys would fire for your Facebooks and let everybody know we're mad as hell. And why do we have our own sports show? Because we know what the hell we're talking about. So let them know on Facebook that if they want to know the real story, check us out. We're carrying a shotgun, and this tune we're going to play that's 4 minutes and 11 seconds long is called Shotgun G. You're right. We're carrying a shotgun in this whole thing. In fact, let's get ready to lock and load. You guys know you you're listening to Dreaded Sports Talk right here on Ship to Shore Radio. was Shotgun G by Doug Walker, one of our other hosts right here on Ship to Shore Radio. And you know what? We're carrying one. We're fired up. We got a whole bunch of stuff to talk about this evening. And Ken hit the nail right on the head. He has a right to be upset because for a long time, this whole thing behind Jerry Sandusky, yeah, Joe Paterno, he could have done things differently. The man is dead right now. They've yanked his statue. They've taken his wins away. Here's the thing. Just on yesterday, the NCAA dropped down some hardcore sanctions. It's funny, just because just two nights ago I was watching what happened to the SMU program on, I don't know what channel it was. It caught my eye. Isn't that funny? You think they did that on purpose? Probably so. But here's the thing. The NCAA imposed a $60 million fine because it's roughly equivalent to a year of gross income from the football program. And it will be paid over a five-year period. The money will go to an endowment for programs preventing child sexual abuse and are assisting the victims of child sexual abuse. The NCAA specified that Penn State cannot cut other sports programs or scholarships to pay this penalty. That's only part of the deal. Now, Daryl, can you tell everybody a little bit about their what happens, what is going to happen with their loss of bowl and revenue?
Well, with that loss of the $60 million, that, as you said, is 1 year of football revenue. But that money was to support the other sports in that school. And those sports are going to lose, not just with the scholarships that you mentioned, but they're gonna lose their spending money. And what's going to happen is that fund is set up for child abuse charities and awareness, and that's where that money is going to be shifted to. So hopefully it'll do a lot of good. But right now, a lot of people are piping up that, oh my gosh, it's going to kill the school. This is the giant killer. Between the $60 million that they're losing, the 4 years of no scholarships, they're dropping their scholarship level from 25 to 15, and then on top of that, no postseason, no bowls, and vacating all wins. Well, you know, it's a lot of people are saying that this is really going to kill Penn State. It's going to ruin the school. They're not going to be a powerhouse in the Big Ten anymore. But, you know, all 22 chancellors and presidents on the board of the NCAA approved this without a problem, unanimous. And they presented it to Penn State. And Penn State had one chance to say, we'd like this changed. But they went ahead and signed that paperwork without any rebuttal, no challenges. So for the people to be upset, really can't say anything about it because Penn State went ahead and said, okay, we agree to this. And that's the bottom line. Now what hurts is the kids in the programs are hurting in this. There's no doubt about it. Ken, you mentioned taking down the Paterno statue and how it, you know, it's a bad day and all that. Okay, I agree. They should have taken down that statue. What they didn't do, and they should do or could do, was leave up those four football players. That's what they should have done. The great games that we had in those 111 games that are now wiped out, the guys that played in those games, the guys that set records, the guys that went to the NFL, that's all gone. You know, I mean, you're not taking it away from them. They still made those achievements. And that's all I've got to say and add to that. Were they sending out a message? Was the NCAA sending out a message? Absolutely. It's a huge message, and it's a strong message. Was it too strict? I don't think so.
Well, I'm going to do this for you before I let Ken chime in, because when I get to the very bottom, I'm sure Ken will have something to say. But in case anyone, I've had friends who were staunchly on the side of Joe Pa and everything, and I just have to tell you, when the truth of the matter came out and these sanctions came out, people are going to change their minds in various ways. I have changed my mind on a key issue that people can listen back to last week's show and see that I've changed my mind on some things. But here's my vibe. These are the sanctions, and I'll go through them quickly. Every Penn State win from 1998 to 2011 has been vacated. That means Joe Paz is no longer the record holder for the most coaching wins in major college football. Okay? We get all that. Loss of some scholarships for 4 years. For the next season and through the 2016 season, Penn State can only sign 15 recruits a year. Most teams sign 25. Starting the 2014 season, the Nittany Lions can only have 65 players on scholarship until after the 2017 season. The usual limit is 85. Waiver transfer rules. Players are released from their commitment to Penn State and immediately eligible to transfer without having to sit out a year. Additionally, football players who wish to continue their education without playing football may keep their scholarships as long as they meet academic requirements. 4-year postseason ban. Penn State can't play in a bowl game, the Big Ten championship game, or the college football playoff for the national championship until after the 2016 season. Consent decree. Penn State and the NCAA agree that the university will follow a number of conditions and requirements imposed by the association. Don't get me started. But let's just jump right here, okay? The NCAA reserved the right to impose additional penalties on individuals after the conclusion of any criminal proceedings. That means that former Vice President Schultz, Athletic Director Tim Curley, are charged with perjury and failure to report suspected child abuse. And President Graham Spanier, who they found fault with, has not been charged. Okay, let me say this. Ken, you're absolutely right. You know, usually when I'm not on this ship, I'm in Pennsylvania, which means I have a bird's eye view of exactly what's going on. People are pissed off, and they have a right to be, because you know what? I'm mad as hell about Jerry Sandusky having free reign there, but the persons who did it, those are the ones who should be prosecuted. Those are the ones who should be punished. And I believe that these sanctions against the school, I think they should have fined Penn State even more money. But what in the hell does this have to do with these young men who came to Penn State for an education? Everyone knows the academic standards at Penn State are not the ones where you can take Plant Science 101 or can go and take how to string a tennis racket. It's a very proud academic university, and I'll tell you this. These sanctions are tough. They are. Penn State, according to the association's rules and regs that they made up, okay, that's fine. But these kids are getting punished. It's great that they're allowing them to go to other schools. Spanier, well, we'll get back to him here in a minute, and Schultz, and Curley, let me tell you, they should be prosecuted to the full extent of the law, because these kids are suffering, the ones who were abused and the kids who are no longer going to be able to play football because of this whole bunch of bullshit. How's that? Ken, I have to tell you, you know, I was really upset for a long time about Joe Pa. Yes, he could have done more, but you were absolutely right in your assertion that these kids are being hurt, the economy's being hurt, all of that, all because, regardless, that it got covered up of one man. If you want anything else, instead of, like, where the statue was, take that son of a biscuit eater out there and shoot him. Tell him you forgive him. Just say, look, Sandusky, we forgive you. And let him feel really comfortable, and you shoot that son of a bitch in the back of the head. Why? Because he thought everything was cool. He was relaxed. That's not cruel and unusual punishment. Otherwise, he would think something was coming to him. That's what I think. Okay, yeah, I said it. All right, Ken, I'm leaving the floor to you. I know you were going down to get yourself a beer real fast, so now you've done that. So what's happening? What's your opinion on
The last I heard, they still left his, they took the statue down, but they left his name up on the library.
So
if you're going to do one, you should do the other. And if you're trying to distance yourself from him, they should write a nice big fat check to the paternal family for all the millions of dollars he donated, you know, to the school. You can't have, you know, oh, we don't want him, but we'll keep his cash. That will come in handy now. But But as far as like the fines and the, you know, you got to punish them somehow. Criminally, all the people involved should be in jail for a long, long time. But again, going back to taking away the revenue, Daryl said that money pays for all the other sports, basically the smaller sports. You take that money away, you're going to cripple a lot of these smaller sports that don't generate that kind of money that need the football money to survive and to compete. I mean, they make a lot of money, and it's not just put back into the football program. It's spread out. That's going to
wrestling, track and field,
yeah. Volleyball, swimming, all that stuff. You know,
absolutely, I agree.
I agree as well. And will you guys agree that after this night, we're not going to spend any more time talking about the Penn State football program because it's just not worth our time anymore. So we won't do that.
Well, I can cheer you up real quick, Captain. The White Sox are losing to the Twins 4-2.
Oh, hell yeah. I really appreciate that. See, from time to time.
The greatest outfielder in fantasy baseball history has 2 more home runs today.
Woo! Crazy. And then the fantasy thing, I just can't wait to see how you do in football. I'm going to tell you that right now, man. But I'm done with this Penn State thing. You know what I mean? We should talk about the rest of the NCAA football, and we'll have a chance to do that later. Let's talk about London 2012. We have a significant international sporting event coming up. I'm talking about the 2012 Olympics, and I can't wait. I have a bunch of reasons why, but so as far as the Olympics, is there any particular thing that you'll be tuning in for, Ken?
Probably just the basketball. I'm not a big summer Olympic guy. I'm not even really a big Olympic guy all around. I'll watch the hockey in the winter, basketball in the summer. I'll tune in and watch the skiing a little bit because when I was younger, I used to ski a lot, and I can appreciate like what these guys are doing. When you see some of them courses that are going down, and I know it looks like to stand on top of looking down over at a Black Diamond Trail, thinking, am I going to live through this? And I see some of the things they do at the speed they go, the agility, the quickness, the way they can just like cut on the dime. It's like it's incredible. I can appreciate that, so I tune into that a little bit. But other than that, I'm not like a track and field person. I'm not really much of a, you know. They're having soccer this year, too. I'll tune into the soccer. I know they had soccer the one year.
It's back. It's back for certain. And here's the thing. I can't wait for the Olympics. There's a lot of stuff that I'm interested in, but my opinion doesn't really count yet. I wonder what our new crew member has to say about it. Being from Cleveland, no, I'm so sorry there's not a beat the... No, I was going to go and say this really mean thing about Cleveland sports, but I won't. I was going to say that they're going to have competitions to see who could get on the Cleveland Brown football team and help them out, whoever the fastest runner was, who was the... Even, you know, I'm looking right now at this chick picking up all this weight, and she looks like she'd be a great nose tackle for the Browns, because they need it. But anyway, so what's captivating you for the Olympics?
Are you talking about Holly?
Well, there's
Are you talking about Holly Mangold?
No, I'm talking about Farrah Robles.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, there is somebody from Cleveland that's in the Olympics, by the way. So let's talk about that. He's a boxer from Cleveland. Captain, you know his name?
Let me think. Really, really. Only the boxer I know that's not from Cleveland is Marlene Esparza.
Okay, let me help you out here. Terrell Gasha. I hope I pronounced it right for all the Cleveland fans. Terrell Gasha was a Glenville High School graduate and started boxing at about 10 years old. And he trained right here. It was his Olympic dream since he was 10 when he started to be a boxer. And he graduated in 2005, which makes me feel really old. You know, but he's over there, and so we hope he does really well. As far as my Olympic favorites, well, I can tell you this much. The basketball team won tonight, 100-78. They beat Spain. And I know for a fact that London's weather is not all that great, so volleyball is really going to suck if they got to wear sweatpants.
Absolutely, absolutely. I got to say this, though. I have to say this. I think I understand why the boxer is going to be so good. Because now he did ring a bell, and I think, tell me if I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong, but at least this is probably is what happened, why he's so good. They probably took him to Cleveland Stadium, and he had to fight his way out. They probably made him wear, I don't know, some type of jersey, probably a New York jersey or something. No, it would be a Cincinnati jersey, and he had to say, Brown suck, and he had to fight his way out of Cleveland Stadium, and I think that's how he became tough enough to get ready for the Olympics. At least that's what I think.
breaking news, the Cubs just lost to Pittsburgh.
Who did?
The Cubs just lost to Pittsburgh.
But I'm saying, who did? I'm waiting till next year. But at least they lost to the Pirates. So that's quite all right.
Actually, they won tonight. So
I was just saying, it's 5-1. And
I was trying to get them back.
I opened my big mouth too soon. It's 4-4. Adam Dunn just hit a home run.
Oh, well, it comes and goes. I'll tell you why I'm going to be watching the Olympics.
It's been mostly going this year.
So the Olympics is going to be exciting. It is going to be exciting. I'll watch some of it for this year. I'm not a big Olympics fan. When Lance Armstrong was going for number 6, I watched Michael Phelps. You know, those historical moments you kind of hear about and you catch it when it's happening. And that's about all the Olympics I watch.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing that I'm absolutely happy for. There's not going to be any streaking this year because the London police, they're going to be handing out fines of up to $30,000 for anyone who streaks during the Olympics. Fact.
How much is that in euros?
Well, that's in U.S. Well, you know what? That's the thing. It's funny you mentioned the euros because I see why Spain didn't give the U.S. basketball team much of a game because all of a sudden they're wondering if they're going to get paid now. The Spanish economy is going downhill. They're about to get a bailout, so that's what happened there.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. You might not even be able to get Spanish rice anymore. It'll be minus to olives. The Greeks, when you get the Greeks and the Spaniards both in financial trouble, you get Spanish rice without. Never mind. That's a whole different story, but I'm watching the Olympics because Michael Phelps, I want to see how he's going to swim just knowing that, you know what, I already done the deal. I won 8 gold medals, and he and Locke are going to have some great battles, and I want to see that. I want to see the women swimmers get out of the pool and you know why and all of that stuff. But otherwise, yeah, I mean, I want to see Olympic beach volleyball. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they have such tremendous talent. I really like the way they serve the ball and get into a 44. Never mind. But anyway, there are a lot of different reasons for watching the Olympics, and I want to see the USA basketball team because they are not as good as 92 team. And I'm going to throw this around to everyone right now. And we talked about this some, Daryl, and that is, first of all, you look at Michael Jordan. He said it best. In their prime, there's no way in hell these guys would have beaten the 92 team because in their primes, they were smart. These guys are all young. They may be more athletic, but sometimes intelligence takes it every time. And three of us, we know that. I mean, we're not old and we're not too young. We're just right. We're in our prime. That's why we know what the hell we're talking about. So for this year's Olympics, I think they're going to struggle, and don't be surprised if there's an upset. I don't want to see it, and Mike Krzyzewski might treat him like his Duke Blue Devil team, you know what I mean, the one where he closes the gym, and they all come running out, oh, my gosh, oh. Yeah, because he's a Bobby Knight descendant, so we'll find out. But I want to watch USC basketball, and I don't much care for Olympic tennis. I can do without it. Really, I can. I mean, they don't even allow them to wear the see-through through tennis outfits anymore, so why should I watch? You guys know what I'm talking about. In the old days, yeah. Anyway, but I digress.
There's too many injuries to this year's team. Look at all the alleged pros that are out hurt off of this Olympic basketball team that we keep talking about.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, next thing you know, they're going to be calling the three of us up to sit on the bench at least to make it look like they have a full team.
I would do it because, I mean, then it might give me a chance to meet Prince Harry, who's going to be over at the Olympic beach volleyball final. So, I mean, at least he's got the right seat.
That's very, very true. I mean, I don't know about you, Ken. I just want to go and see if they've changed the formula and their fish and chips, and if you can still get a good pint at a good time.
Always with the food.
Food and the beer.
There you go.
At least if you're over there, you'll get Red Stripe that came from Jamaica.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. You know, I was thinking about doing a Red Stripe thing here in the show, but I'm in protest. We have to do it somewhere on the shores of Jamaica because Latrobe, Pennsylvania, really? I mean,
I sent you a picture of the bottle. My brother noticed it when we were down in Florida last month. He goes, look at this. It says, it's not, the label doesn't even say, it says Jamaican style lager because it was
exactly.
made in Pennsylvania.
Exactly.
I mean, that might as well have said Red Stripe-esque.
I thought it was a dollar store brand of Red Stripe, Red Strip.
That's exactly right.
All right, Captain.
Yeah, man.
We need to make baseball walk the plank, and we need to go straight into football because I have something that you're going to be very interested in.
You see how this is, Ken? You and I can just hang down in the galley and make up all kind of good food or have our ladies to make us a sandwich while he runs everything. This is why I brought him in, because now we, for the last 2 years, we've certainly been through some battles, but here we are. So we...
All right. Here's the breaking news. Are you gentlemen ready? Listeners, listen, I'm telling you, this is hot off the press.
Okay.
Oh, the Lions have cut Barry.
Really? They took him that long?
Yep, it took them that long. They finally, they took the additional step. After his second arrest, they terminated his contract.
Wow. They should have. Here we go. There you go. That's what's best. You do know, if you listeners don't aren't aware of it, this idiot came to the state of Pennsylvania and got arrested twice, offense. What's it been, a month and a half or whatever? And this last time he brandished a gun. Really? You're supposed to save that gun for Detroit. You don't need it here.
Yeah. He was at a DUI and leaving the scene and giving false information was his latest charges and the latest arrest that he was involved with. And that's really strange because now that takes us to the Lions completely. Six arrests of four Lions players. Now, you have two for Mikel LeShore, is that it? Both marijuana charges. Nick Fairley, DUI and marijuana charges. Jonathan Colbreth, a marijuana charge. Imagine that. What's going on up in Detroit?
They think they're the Bengals.
Wow.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's totally messed up, you know. It really, really is. And I think, really... I don't want you guys to follow me on this. I think that when those guys get in trouble, I think should all go out
sitting
for a frozen margarita.
Shorts and sandals, pine tree swaying with the wind. My friends wonder what I'm up to, 'cause I'm wearing my Cheshire grin. I got a frozen margarita. Because of where I'm really at, surrounded by the snow. the world, sitting on my own island, just watching this beautiful world. Margarita comes in flavors, whatever your taste may be. Just close your eyes when you're sipping. Join me on my island by the sea. I've got a frozen margarita on the north coast of the world, sitting on my own island, watching my flag unfurl. You'll find me down in paradise. Margarita on the north coast of the world, sitting on my own island, just me and my beautiful girl. This page in my book is marked, use the paper off the bottle. I'm wound up and ready to spin because this liquor makes me go.
They should have just chilled out like our newest addition to the crew, Dale Russell, and just had themselves a frozen margarita. Then they wouldn't have gotten in any trouble at all. And that was actually an original composition by Dale Russell. We're going to have lots of fun. In fact, you never know. We might even get Ken, who loves really, really great tropical music and things. Who knows? We may even get him to guest on something, even if it's just him yelling for a sandwich. Who knows? But, yeah, comedy relief. But, you know, guys, that's what we do here on Dreaded Sports Talk. Sometimes people dread it because they don't always just get sports talk. But let's talk a little bit about baseball. We have 16 minutes remaining, really about 10, because we're going to go into the big finale. No, we're not stealing this from... pardon the interruption. We do interrupt ourselves from time to time but let's talk a little bit about Major League Baseball. Right now, Ken, if you had to pick a fellow for the MVP of the American League, who would that person be?
Oh, God, I gotta think now.
And while you do that, while you think about it, I know that because you and I can now defer and take our moment to have our own frozen margaritas, we're going to let the margarita man himself, Dale Russell, tell us, let's take the American League first. Who are you touting as the MVP at this point of the season?
Well, the MVP for the whole league, is that what you're asking me?
The American League, the one that your team is in.
Oh, yeah. The Cleveland Indians, this is my team. You know, for MVP of the American League, it would have to be Trout for sure with that .357 average.
So you think it should be just on average. So, I mean, Ken, you hear that, right? He, based on your your data, you're saying that the MVP should be based on who has the highest batting average?
No. Now he's got a .357 average. He scored 71 runs. So he's leading not just, you know, the American League, but his team, the Angels, too. I mean, he doesn't have the home runs or the RBIs, but can you just go on that alone? No. I would say between runs and average, the MVP should be Trout right now, the Angels.
I mean, Hamilton's got 28 homers, 80 RBIs, but he doesn't have the average. It's .293, 57 runs.
Right.
So, yeah, he has 80 RBIs already. Personally, I know what you're saying about Trout, but I still think, unless he gets injured really badly again, Josh Hamilton should be the MVP. That's just what I think. Ken, don't say, I know there's a guy right behind Trout who's hitting like .322 from the Twins, but who do you think?
.332. Give the guy credit.
Yeah.
What, are you trying to shave off like fat from a steak?
No.
Are you vacating hits from him?
Not exactly. It's just that the captain has had so much seawater in his eyes, I can't see worth a damn anymore. So, Ken, let's hear from you. Who do you think the MVP should be in the American League thus far?
I would probably say Hamilton.
Okie dokie, then.
I mean, Trout is definitely got to be up there. He's having a phenomenal year.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. We're going to see. That's what we've come up with, and that's what we
need.
What
a kiss-up.
Yeah, so there you go. Let's go into the National League because we are running out of time. Do you remember when this show used to accidentally go over even 2 hours? Well, we don't have that anymore. We have an hour. So this is really fun. I mean, maybe one day we'll do an extension of the program. Who knows? On another day, maybe not. But, again, did I mention you guys? This is Christmas Eve, Christmas in July, that is.
It's Christmas in July.
Have yourself a merry little baseball season.
You know, I would say ho, 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 but my fiance, because I'm not married.
You got me ahead of time before I brought that in. Ken, he's not married, okay? I don't know what they are, but no.
That's why he's so happy. I know Carol's sleeping, so I can say that she's not listening.
Well, we don't. When it comes to Yankees fans, they kind of like go to sleep on the party earlier because they think they're so big and bad they can't stay up with us. Oh, she'll hear that too. Someone's listening. Is gonna
I'm gonna have to block the ship to shore link on her Facebook page.
Please
Uh-oh.
Do. Oh boy, we're in trouble now.
But so who's your National League MVP, Ken?
Right now I'll probably go with McCutchen from the Pirates. Yeah, 22 homers. The average is up there, 66 RBI, 65 runs scored, 14 stolen bases.
Okay.
You know what? I'm just going to throw it right in there. I totally agree. That's who I believe is absolutely, positively the MVP for the National League. So there you go. What do you have, young fellow? Who do you think? Yes, you, Daryl. Yes, the youngster.
Yeah, I'm
the youngster,
huh? Oh, boy.
Rookie hazing, man.
Yeah, I know. And I made sure there's plenty of rum. I just drink it all.
Yeah.
Well, you know, you guys make a good argument for McCutchen. I'm going over everything. I really can't argue any differently. McCutchen seems to be it, you know. And the Bucks, man, the Bucks are really pulling it out overall with their stats and their wins and everything. I wouldn't be surprised if the National League gets in there with that.
So it's unanimous. McCutchen, that is our choice. Let's go to Cy Young. And the American League will start with you, Daryl.
Oh, jeez.
Now it gets really, really interesting. I got to go right off the top of my head. I got to say Verlander right now. He's just, I have to.
Okay. So there you have it. One vote for Verlander. Ken?
I'm thinking maybe Jared Weaver, but you also got to consider Chris Sale from the White Sox. I hate to say that, but...
No, you didn't. You did not. You absolutely did not bring someone up from the White Sox. Oh, my gosh. You do have an argument. You do have an argument on that one. I'll hand you that. So what would be your convincing thing to make Sale the Cy Young winner?
I'd probably have to give it to Weaver. He's higher in a lot of, in the wins and ERA, but right now this guy is close. Weaver's at a 2.20 ERA. He's 2.37. Weaver's got 12 wins. He has 11. Verlander's got 11 also. I guess.
Why did you throw Price in there?
Yeah, Price has 13 wins. And his ERA is 2.64.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, they're awfully close. It's really hard
to
see.
Yeah. It's right now, it's hard to choose right now. I mean, and all three teams, really. I guess Weaver's got the Angels playing better, but it's supposed to be an individual, not a team award, so. If you're going to go by wins, you give it to Price. You're going to go by ERA. Weaver's only one win behind, and Weaver's got the better ERA. But, yeah, I guess you couldn't go wrong with any of those three guys.
Okay. I'm going to say Verlander just because he's a badass on the mound. He has some dominance. I know I don't like Jerry Weaver's hair, okay? That's why I'm not picking him. I really don't. So, and oh, my gosh, it's 10:53 already. So that means that we can jump right to it. Who's done the best managerial job this year? In the American League, what about you, Daryl? Who's done the best managerial job?
Oh, best manager on the American League side. I would put that with, I would say Manny Acta. Now, wait a minute. Not because of the hometown. Not at all. But because of the injuries that we've had, the guys that have been on our 15, 30, and 60 day, the fact that we lost Roberto Hernandez because he didn't have a visa and shouldn't be back in Major League Baseball at all. Manny Acta has really had to shuffle the lineup. The only thing that's really upset me about Manny is the fact that when we lost these games to, I don't remember, it was Baltimore or Detroit, somebody, Dennis King, if you're out there listening, back me up on this. Manny Acta came out and said, well, we planned it all along to lose to a left-handed pitcher. What? What are you talking about? That's the only bad thing I have. But as far as managing the team and making the transition and the addition of Johnny Damon, you know, just about every time he's in the lineup, they pull him about the seventh or eighth inning and get him rested. I would give managerial props, you know, respect to Manny Acta.
It sounds like you were sneaking the excuses for the Indians because you know what? If the Indians allow the White Sox to win this division, the Tigers are okay. But if you allow the White Sox to win this division, man, you better drink some rum to absorb the blows.
Well, let me tell you right now, we beat Detroit tonight. And we have a couple more games with them. So the next game is tomorrow, of course. Detroit swept Chicago and took first place. And games back, we are 3.5 back. Chicago is one. We have a couple more to go with Detroit, and if we take care of business, and that's why I say if Manny, I would give the job to Manny for manager in the American League.
Okie doke. So, Ken, what are you thinking?
I'd say it would be close between Robin Ventura and Bob Melvin from Oakland.
Those are very good choices. I like that. I actually have to say Mike Socha, because you remember where the Angels looked like, where they were headed at the beginning of the season?
Yeah.
Now, that's what I'm thinking. So let's go on to the National League. I think the manager of the year is Davey Johnson with the Nationals.
Yeah, I could agree with that. He's got them, starting to pull away from that division. That's 4.5 over the Braves, to forget everybody else. It's 10.5, 12.5, and 14 over the Mets, the Marlins, and the Phillies. Well, the Phillies had a great comeback win tonight. They were getting killed by the Brewers. They came back and they won 7-6.
Yeah.
But again, Cliff Lee didn't get the win.
That's what he gets. He should have stayed with, well, let's not even go there. That's his own fault. I mean, this is payback for the Phillies for getting all that pitching. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Look at Halladay. Yeah, that's the thing there. Darryl, what do you think for the National League Manager of the Year?
Looking at the stats the way they are now, it's a really hard choice. I mean, the National League has been tearing it up amongst each other. There's a lot of bad blood in that league, you know, between these teams. Let's say the Dodgers, the Giants. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati are tied right now. Atlanta and the Nats. Oh, boy. I'm really torn between Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. And since I just said that word that I really dislike, I would say Dusty Baker.
Oh, man, blasphemous. I mean, I like Dusty. He was a former manager of the Cubs, so I'll give him that. But
yeah, but we're not judging him on his past. We're judging him on this year. So
look,
I would
if
say
you bring up Manny Acta. You know what I'm saying? If you can bring up Manny Acta, your home team, I'm saying he did us wrong with the Cubs. So I'm going to hold against him. So you know what I mean? So that being said, you know, guys, while this show is really flown, we only have 2 minutes left, so we have to take 30 seconds each to get our point across. And I'm actually going to let Ken, you've got 30 seconds, my good friend.
Today was a great day for football fans, because today was actually technically the day NFL started, the Saints Open training camp today. So I actually got to see some like non-Penn State bullshit on TV, got to see some real... Actually, it went from one scandal to the other. I got away from the Penn State scandal to the New Orleans Saints scandal. So it was a professional scandal, so it was a little bit better.
There you have it. And the Saints are the team that the greatest
fantasy quarterback of all time.
And his name is?
Drew Brees. Unless I don't get him this year, then I don't care.
What's his name?
Drew Brees.
30 seconds, Darryl. Hit it. You've got 30 seconds.
Hey, congratulations to the Cleveland Gladiators. That was one of the most exciting games. One of the top five sporting events I have ever attended was last Saturday's Cleveland Gladiators game when they beat the Chicago Rush 60-54. Awesome job. Major League Baseball, you need to step in on the Cleveland Indians and this Roberto Hernandez thing. I'm telling you, he lied to us, he took our money, and he still has a contract. He shouldn't be playing. Wheaton's under contract. Trent Richardson's under contract. Oh, my God, look at everybody's under contract. RG3 is under contract. There you go, Mr. Friday. Andrew Luck is under contract. So we are ready for rookies to report to training camp tomorrow. I'm really looking forward. Oh, and one thing that we didn't get to touch on, since I have a couple more seconds, CM Punk.
Good night, everyone. All I have to say is go Bears. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next week.